Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. We're broadcasting this week from the 18th hole here at Car Talk Plaza. What is this all about?
We played golf once, remember?
Oh, more than once.
Was it more than once?
You and I together, I think, played. I guess that your statement is right. Yeah. We played golf together once.
Yeah. Well, there are caddies in golf. We didn't have a caddy, of course. We weren't that advanced. But, you know, the real golfers have caddies. And these are the best golf caddy remarks.
We couldn't even afford a Chevy, let alone a caddy.
Golfer says, please stop checking your watch all the time. It's too much of a distraction. Caddy, it's not a watch, it's a compass. Golfer, this is the worst course I've ever played on. Caddy, this isn't the golf course, sir. We left that an hour ago. Golfer, you have to be the worst caddy in the world. Caddy, I don't think so. That would be too much of a coincidence. Golfer, do you think I can get there with a 5-iron? Caddy, eventually. And my personal favorite, Golfer, I'd move heaven and earth to break 100 on this course. Caddy, try heaven. You already moved most of the earth.
I should mention to our listeners that Tommy is an avid golfer.
Well, I've played. I don't remember. I only remember that one day that we got thrown off the golf course.
Now, didn't you write for Putts Magazine?
I did. That's true.
Well, look, if you have a question about your car or your game or anything else for that matter, the number to call is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, I'm Deborah from Benton, Arkansas. How are the both of you today?
Deborah, is that the 5-letter Deborah or the 7-letter Deborah?
The 5-letter Deborah.
That's what I thought.
Spelled it. And where in Arkansas?
Benton, Arkansas. It's about 20 minutes from Little Rock.
20 minutes? Walking?
Anyway, what's going on?
Well, I've had this problem with a 95 Ford Escort that I bought used 3 years ago, and I'm a graduate student now, so, you know, it's one of these things where I have to make it last until I finish school.
What's your field?
Social work.
Well, that's very good.
Yeah. Well, what this problem is, it started just about 6 months after I had the car, where you put in the key into the ignition, and sometimes the ignition just acts like it is locked up. You can't turn the key. Well, I found the solution to the problem kind of through some anger management or some not anger management.
Yeah, you were whacking the hell out of it, right?
Well, as I got out of the car door was open, and I thought, okay, I'm just going to push the car down to a little gas station, you know, that I could see about a half a block away.
Ah.
I gave it a little bit of a push, and then I thought, oh, gosh, I can't do this all the way down.
So plus, I mean, you can't steer it.
No.
Well, yeah, you might have figured that out halfway there.
Yeah.
Right. So anyway, I got back in, and I thought, okay, I'll just try it again. And it cranked up for me. It turned.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when it would do that on subsequent times, I would get out, look around, first of all, make sure no one was watching to see that I was pushing my car.
Yeah.
And then it just unlocks.
So you don't want to continue with the technique that you currently have, which seems to work 100% of the time, right?
That's right.
I mean, have you tried just jiggling the steering wheel when this happens?
Yes.
I mean, jiggling it a lot. Not jiggling, but getting angry with it.
No.
Because I think that when you're pushing the car, what's happening is that the steering wheel is moving, and that's why it works when you get back in.
Okay.
I would just grab onto that steering wheel.
And shake the hell out of it.
Forget about anger management. Just really try to turn it left and right. You won't break anything, and if you do break it, it's going to solve the problem.
Right.
Oh, no.
Well, there are several possibilities here. One is that it could be just a worn-out key that's causing the problem. If you have another key, try that one.
Okay.
If that doesn't solve the problem, then it could be the lock that's the problem, the part that the key goes into.
Uh-huh.
That could be worn out.
Okay.
If it's any comfort to you, my wife's Volvo, which is practically brand new, does exactly the same thing.
No.
Yeah, it's very common.
No.
So sometimes you put the key and you can't turn the thing unless you grab the wheel and give it a shake back and forth, left, right, at that kind of frequency, left, right, left, right, left, right, And while you're doing that, you try to turn the key, and boop, it just pops and turns.
Okay. Yeah.
So try that. And don't be afraid to be angry with it. It's okay. I know your field of endeavor.
Being a social worker, you probably are too gentle and you're saying, come on, Carr.
You're trying to reason with it.
You're going
to
get really ticked off here. You know what I mean, Deborah? Yeah. Get really ticked off and say, I'm sick of this.
And haul off and kick it.
Bingo. It'll start.
Okay.
Good luck, Deborah.
Thank you so much. I enjoy your show.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So much of life is knowing how tough to be.
Exactly.
Isn't that true?
Right. It's knowing when to hold them and when to fold them.
Well, I mean, I realize that one of the great lessons of, for example, automobile mechanics is knowing when to really whack something.
Yeah.
I mean, most amateurs are afraid to whack things. Like, would you take a 5-pound sledgehammer and whack it against a brake drum?
All the time.
Of course not. I mean, if you thought about it, you'd say, well, of course the thing is going to break.
Have you ever tried that with a TV, though?
I did.
See, you can't take knowledge from one field.
That's right. And
translate it to another.
Yeah.
They don't, lost a lot of TV
they
tubes
don't carry that way. Over. They don't carry over.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys. This is Eric calling from London.
Hi. From London?
London, Europe.
London, Europe, my foot.
London, England.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Okay.
No kidding.
Serious.
I believe it. What are you doing in London?
I married a Brit a few years back.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
So do you drive a British car?
German.
German.
I've got my sister-in-law's 85 Volkswagen Golf.
Cool.
And the problem that I'm having is the turn signal lens is filling up with water.
Yeah, because it's cracked.
No. It's not.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I can't see a crack. I've tested it. I've taken it off because the first time was when the indicator started, doing double speed.
Right.
I realized that one of the bulbs was out.
Good.
So I went around, checked the front one. Sure enough, it was the lens was full of water. So I took it off and bubble tested it underneath a sink full of water.
Ah,
and
good.
Didn't seem to have any leaks at all. So I thought, well, whatever, put it back together. And within a week, that thing is full of water again.
Now, this lens is held on by two screws?
Yeah, you open the hood, and from the back, you take the wire harness with the bulb out.
Right.
Oh, okay, and that's how you change the bulb.
Yeah.
There are two approaches you can take. Well, three, maybe.
Okay.
One is you could buy a new fixture.
Right.
Which might be like $20 or so.
They're about 25 pounds, which is about...
they're not that heavy.
They're about 25 pounds.
Yeah, forget about buying it. I can't even lift it.
That's $39.
Well, my question is, if it is cracked, then how come the water's not escaping?
Well, isn't that a good question? Because the crack can act like a check valve. Don't forget, if there are hairline cracks in the front, and we see this all the time on lenses and headlights, there's not an obvious crack, but when you're driving at 70 miles an hour... and it's raining, which it often does in England, you are forcing that water in at high speed, okay? And when you stop the car, you would have to drive in reverse at 70 miles an hour.
To suck it out.
Right?
Right.
To suck it out of there, and it won't happen.
And if you wanted a clue, if you want to turn this into a research project, I've got all kinds of great ideas for you.
Oh, excellent.
One is this. You have to take off the lens again, as you did before.
Okay.
And where do you work?
I work at a radio station, as a matter of fact.
Not good enough. Try to get a job in a high-tech company where they have electron microscopes.
Wind tunnels.
And wind tunnels. And take it into work someday and look at it under a microscope. Wouldn't that be interesting?
Yeah.
And you will find the hairline cracks, which aren't visible to the eye.
Yes, and you could epoxy those up.
Yeah.
But the more elegant solution is to drill a small hole on the bottom of the fixture.
I like this.
So that when the water comes in, it can leak out. You need a hole that's big enough so that water tension won't keep the water from leaking out.
Yeah, and that's really the most elegant way to deal with it. I mean, isn't that good? And
it's
so simple.
Is that not going to crack the plastic lens?
You're going to drill it with a drill. I mean, you're not going to smash it with a hammer. You're going to drill it with an electric drill or, a hand drill.
Yeah.
And you're going to drill it.
I like that better than spending the next 4 years getting a degree so I could look under an electron microscope.
Exactly. You're going to drill it in a rearward-facing direction so that when the water comes in, and it's going to be obviously at the low point or close to the low point of the fixture, the water can go out, but it won't be a receptor for water when you drive. In other words, you don't want to drill the hole in the front of the lens.
Right.
You got it?
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah, gotcha.
Okay.
If you do, drill two holes, one at the top and one at the bottom.
Yeah, in fact,
and put a little arrow so the water will know that one way is in, and you write in, and on the bottom one you write out. If you do it the other way, it'll never work.
It's just going to keep filling up with water. I'm going to keep drilling
holes.
Right. There'll be nothing left but holes.
Hey, Eric, thanks a million for calling. You may be our first and only international caller.
Hey, I'm over here. I'm listening.
Hey, great.
Thanks.
Love the show.
Thanks for calling, man. Good
Take
luck.
Take care, guys.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
My name's Melody Brown Parker.
Melody.
Uh-huh.
Melody Brown Dash Parker?
No, drown. Like you can't swim. You're never coming
drown.
Up.
Drown.
Dash Parker.
So your name was Melody Drown and you married Fess Parker? Is that it?
Well, I married somebody named Parker and no longer am married to them.
But you liked the hyphenated name and you stuck with it.
Well, I have children. Their last name is Parker.
Oh, sure.
So
I get it.
So okay. So
that's good. That's hyphenated names are quite the thing these days.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, when I did it, it wasn't. So.
Yeah. What if you like remarry? Are you going to have to add another hyphen?
Yeah.
Drown.
Oh, no, I think
Parker
at that point
Fessenden.
You just sort of like drop the Parker and
you drop the Parker.
Your maiden name.
Oh, right.
Can you use like slashes too?
Like
Andor.
Dash Parker dash Fessenden slash Smith.
Oh, sure. You can do whatever you want.
Do you mind if we just call you Melody?
Oh, no. Uh-uh.
Great.
Okay.
Where are you from, Melody?
Well, I live in Tacoma, Washington, and I kind of part-time live in Corvallis, Oregon.
Okay.
Oh, no kidding. So what's up?
Well, I have a 1984 Toyota Camry, and it has round figures 170,000 miles on it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why weren't you as interested, Thomas, in Corvallis, Oregon? I mean, you just passed right by.
Well, I figured enough of the small talk. I wanted to get right to the problem. We wasted enough time talking about her 16 names. And this is, we're supposed to be answering questions.
Well, here's a person that lives one place and sometimes lives another place. You're not interested in that?
Okay. If we can't answer the question about
then
the
we'll
Camry,
go back to that.
We'll go back to that.
Okay. Go ahead, Melody.
Okay.
84 Camry, 170,000 miles.
Right. And the problem that it has is that I drive to Corvallis every other weekend, at least, and it's 250 miles each way. And when I'm going uphill, all of a sudden, about 3 weeks ago, it started
losing power.
Yeah, losing power, lugging down.
Yeah.
And I took it to my mechanic in Corvallis, and he looked at it, and one of my spark plugs wasn't firing. So he adjusted that. It was closed. Ran real good for a week or 10 days. It started the same thing.
Mm.
So my question is do I continue putting money into this car, or do I unload this car because it's going to imminently blow up and get a different car?
How do you spell
what's the last
Corvallis?
Name? What's the last name of this guy in Corvallis that you? This is a fella that you're seeing, huh?
Oh no, this is a mechanic.
No. The trip you take every week.
Oh no, my children live in Corvallis, Oregon, with their father. But yes, my partner also lives there, David.
David.
Uh-huh. And how do you say
David? I got it. David Dratt. So it'll be Melanie Drown Dratt.
No.
I'm sorry. I couldn't.
How do you spell Corvallis?
Corvallis.
Yeah. And is it a nice place? Notice how I swung right back into
that. Is.
Would you consider relocating?
I just relocated from Corvallis.
And obviously, there must have been a few weeks where you couldn't find our show and you didn't listen, because I think a couple of weeks ago we answered this very question.
Oh.
Yeah, because this is one of the questions that we happen to actually know the answer to.
This is one of our five answers.
And
it
is not the choke pull-off.
Right.
And it is not the fuel pump.
Or the fuel pump relay.
Or the fuel pump relay.
It is a condition known as TCS, Toyota Camry Syndrome. And many older Camrys, four-cylinder Camrys, have this problem because they get varnish and carbon deposits on the valves. And the valves stick when the engine gets hot and is asked to do a lot of work like climb a hill. And when the valves stick open, It's like you have no compression in the cylinders.
And therefore no power.
And the thing loses power until finally it loses all power and stops running. It cools off, it restarts, it runs fine. So you need to have your valve train cleaned out with a chemical additive.
And do I take it to a mechanic to have that valve train cleaned out, or is that something I can do myself?
Well, no. It's, you could try doing it yourself with additives that you put in the gas tank.
Mm-hmm.
The one we've tried that's worked the best for us is a stuff called 44K, which is made by a company called BG Industries.
Okay.
But if you can't find that, you can try Tecron, which is made by Chevron, but that may not work as well. This 44K stuff has worked great for us.
Okay.
But if that didn't work, then your mechanic may have to take the engine apart or may have to put hook it up to a system, a machine, that will clean your valve train.
Okay.
Go back to your guy and tell him that you know that this is the problem with the car, and if he has some chemicals that he recommends, try those.
Yeah. Tell him it's sticky valves.
Sticking valves.
Yeah, and it's according to the Car Talk bozos, it's Toyota Camry syndrome. He'll thank you for it because he may have had dozens of other customers with the same problem, and now he's going to be the local genius.
Great. Well, I really appreciate it.
See you, Melody.
I love your show. Thank you.
Good luck.
Bye-bye. Oh, jeez. All right, look, it's time for us to take a short break and give our stations a chance to make a few important announcements.
You mean like what's playing on the other stations?
Yeah, where to find the nearest emergency earplug depot, you know, stuff like that.
We'll be back with more of your car questions in just a minute.
Standing on the corner, watching all the Fords go by. Standing on the corner, giving all the Fords the eye. Brother, if you've ever wanted top performance, take out a Ford, give it a try. Instead of standing on the corner, get behind the wheel.
And even though NPR's accountant moves Car Talk into the liability column whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR.
This episode of Car Talk is supported by AT&T. With AT&T, the network is on demand, the office is mobile, and the cloud is designed for high security. Learn more at att.com/focus. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, of course, mm-hmm. car repair, of course, and dialectical materialism.
Maybe. Now, you may not know that that's where this letter is going, but here it is, from Aaron Katz in Portland, Oregon. I have owned the Best of Car Talk CD since last Christmas. In the last 6 months, I've listened at least 50 times, if not more. Every time I listen to it, I cannot help but ponder the meaning of a piece of dialogue during the dog barf call. Remember that call?
Yes, I do.
One of you says, quote, "Obviously the stuff went down the vent or it stayed on the dashboard." To which the response comes, "It went down the vent." One of you continues, "Right, but not all of it. I mean, some of it stayed. So suffice it to say, what didn't stay on the dashboard went down the vent." Each time I hear this exchange, I am struck by the utter meaninglessness of this exchange of words. I now know what is happening. On the surface, you two appear to be morons.
On the surface?
Where was I? On the surface, you two appear to be morons. But inside, you are deeply philosophical. The above dialogue actually expresses existential philosophy, the meaninglessness of existence. Obviously, this was what inspired Camus. Perhaps one of you is even the reincarnation of Kierkegaard or Heidegger. Under the ruse of an idiotic talk show about cars, you are in fact attempting to enlighten me. While the above conversation is a blatant attempt to spread your insidious philosophical opinions, I have determined that the whole show is the same, completely meaningless. What Sartre achieved in his plays, you have taken to the next level. Sincerely, parenthesis, as if sincereness existed.
Right.
Aaron Katz.
Whoa.
On the surface, you two...
Well, he listened to that 50 times, huh?
On the surface, you two appear to be morons.
I got news. It isn't superficial.
I thought.
Anyway, if you'd like to talk to us, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Jean from McKinney, Texas.
McKinney.
McKinney. Yeah. Now, I have a recollection that I've been to McKinney.
I've been to McKinney, Texas.
You have, like hell.
I have.
Where is McKinney?
Just north of
near Dallas.
Had never been there.
Yeah?
Yeah, actually, we've been there. It's near Plano, right?
Yeah.
Never been there either.
It's a little west of, I think it's a little west of Plano. McKinney, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, McKinney.
Up the famous.
Yeah, Mount McKinney. Is Mount McKinney there?
Yeah, Mount McKinney is there.
So what's up, Gene?
Well, I have an 85 Maxima station wagon.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought it used. And
good.
Okay.
Yeah, it's been a great car. But I thought the rear end seemed a little noisy. And I put new tires on. It doesn't
have a rear end.
it's just a station wagon. I thought that was just being a station wagon, that it was noisy. And it got so it kind of felt like I was riding on oval wheels, which is not a necessarily good feeling. So I had new tires put on it, and I had that done just this past Sunday at the famous Wally World.
Wally World.
Yeah.
Wally World, really?
Oh, hey.
So this is Sunday, go to meet and get some tires while you're waiting.
That's
that
it.
Kind of thing.
That's it.
Okay.
That's it. So anyway, I said to the guys, you know, this has really been kind of noisy. Is there any way if you could see if the bearings are okay?
Very astute.
What a question.
And they said, they came back and they said, no problem. So I went out on, I sell insurance, and I went out on a call on Monday. And just before I got to my destination, I start hearing a nasty noise coming from the back.
Sounds like they left a few wheel nuts loose.
Oh, I said I've been waiting to talk to you guys enough that I've almost got the thing recreated for you.
Really?
Yeah, hang on. Let's see here. It got really bad.
How'd you do that? You did that with kitchen utensils, didn't you?
I did indeed. So anyway, I pulled into it after the appointment. It got worse, and this is not maybe even a half a mile that I've driven, and I pulled into a place that is also known for their blimp, and the guy says, whatever it is, it's very costly.
It's going to cost you $1,000 no matter
what. It's a decibel level.
I like it.
And my goodness, and if it's the spindle, then it's just going to be more.
I have a suspicion that the guys that you asked to check the bearings maybe, in fact, removed the retaining nut and actually pulled out at least the outer bearing. I'm trying to remember, 85 Maxima. Mm. I don't know what setup this has.
Station wagon, white.
Yes,
white.
I don't remember. I can't remember. I can't remember anymore. But I don't know if this has two bearings that come out like bearings of yesteryear, or if it has one large sealed bearing, which in fact houses two bearings. If it does, you're probably all right. They may have loosened that nut and failed to tighten it up completely.
Oh, please.
And that's why the thing is making that clacking noise, because the bearing is getting chewed up. You've got to immediately get it to somebody.
Yeah, you can't drive on it.
No. I'm going to pick it up.
Uh-huh.
I've borrowed a lowboy trailer, and I've got it hooked up to my old Suburban, and I'm going to go load it up.
Oh, so you left it there.
I left it.
And what are you going to do when you load it up?
What will I do?
Yeah.
I'm going to go find somebody that isn't going to...
That hasn't determined the price before he knows what's
right.
wrong with it. Well, I mean, since it is there... Well, you're right. It's probably right to just get it out of there, if that's their attitude. It would be nice if you could trust them to some extent, so you can just say, can you just check to see if the retaining nut is loose? And if it is, just tighten it up.
Well, I mean, if there's a local filling station around near this tire shop,
uh-huh.
I would get it to the local filling station and ask them to put it on the lift.
Okay.
And they ought to be able to figure out in about 2 minutes what's going on. And in another 5 minutes, what is it going to cost you to fix it?
Okay.
And if you can find a place that will do this and the price isn't more than a few hundred bucks, I'd have him fix it.
Yeah.
But how's she going to get it to the filling station?
She's going to drive it to the filling station, which is a few blocks from the tire store.
Yeah, there is supposed
there
to
is
be one,
one
close by.
Then
yeah,
that's what I would
to
do,
one.
Too. If it's only a few blocks, go for it.
Good luck, Gene.
Thanks.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Love you guys.
Jeez. Hey, you know what time it is?
Time to go shopping for our back-to-school coveralls?
No. Time to play Stump the Chumps. This is the part of the show where we check in on a caller from a previous show to see if our advice was reasonable, seasonable.
Or treasonable. So who's our lucky player this week, Johnny?
It's Heidi from Michigan. Remember Heidi?
Of course, blonde hair, pigtails, yodeled a lot.
No, wrong Heidi. This Heidi called us a couple of months ago because her husband was getting ready to change the timing belt himself on their 98 Volvo Cross Country.
Yes.
The problem that I have with this is that he is not a mechanic. He teaches tennis for a living. And English is like his fifth language. He's not originally from the United States. And he says that he has this book that all mechanics have. And he can just look at the book, and he'll be able to install the new timing belt, and everything will be perfect. But I have to say to him over and over again, but you don't like to read, especially in English. So we're having a kind of a family breakdown here, and I'm wondering if you could give me some advice on whether or not I should have let him change this timing belt in this car.
I think you should lock him in the cellar and take the thing to the Volvo dealer.
That's what my wife does to me.
So that was our advice?
Yeah. After a detailed risk-reward analysis, we said that this is a very tricky job. It's very easy to screw it up. Ask my brother. He's done it many times. And that the cost of screwing up is big. I mean, it's a new engine.
Almost.
So it's just not worth it to do this particular job yourself. The risk is too high, we said.
Well, I had a feeling that he wasn't going to take no for an answer, no matter what we told her. You know, guys are, once they get an idea in their heads.
Oh, I'd be shocked if he let her take it to the dealer. Shocked.
Well, let's find out. Heidi, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, look, before we find out whether you've changed timing belts, husbands, or both, we need you to confirm that we have not spoken since your last appearance on Car Talk. Is that true?
That's true. We haven't spoken.
And the answer you're about to give here on Stump the Chumps has not been influenced by our staff, the staff of National Public Radio, or by that Volvo manual in Farsi that we sent your husband.
It has not been influenced.
So, did you take our advice, or did you let him have at it, as they say?
Well, I took your advice to heart, but I couldn't convince him otherwise.
I knew it.
You told me to distract him, and there wasn't one distraction that would take his mind away
from
that.
I can think
timing.
Of one.
It was quite the event, but indeed, he did change it. He listened to the call.
Yeah.
And when you guys said that changing the timing belt in the Volvo is like trying to run a marathon without your shoes tied, he said to himself, that's it.
That's
I'm
a job for
it.
Me.
He said, Sonia Henny's tutu, I can do it.
What a guy.
You actually made him more driven to change the timing belt.
Oh, we did, huh?
Yes.
Well,
and his next question to me was, Heidi, what's a seller? But he did go ahead and do it, and he did make one mistake. He got the timing belt all installed, got the tension where he thought it was supposed to be, and then he started the engine to see how it worked. But he did not open the garage door. And it was really late at night, like 2 in the morning. And he was in there fiddling around with it, with the car running, with the garage door closed. And I think
passed
he was
out.
Starting to hallucinate. So my advice to would-be aspiring, pretend they know everything husbands like mine is just make sure you open the garage door when you start your car.
Now, did he change the water pump, too? Because I think that was part
no,
of our advice.
No, in fact, he didn't.
So was our advice, would you say, good or bad?
I think your advice was very good, and I think that you should continue to give that.
Well, we're encouraged to hear that.
Your advice was very good and very true. It was just that I have a very stubborn husband, and I think that...
Well, we said he wasn't going to listen to us.
Actually, yeah, you're right. You said that.
Yeah.
And you gave me lots of ways to distract him, but once I was done distracting him, his mind was on the timing belt.
That's the kind of guy I like. Boy, oh boy, don't listen to anybody. especially your wife.
Right. Okay.
There you go. Okay. More sage advice, more sage marital advice from Tom Magliozzi. And call us, Heidi, when the water pump seizes, and we'll tell you what to do by the side
okay,
of the road.
Okay, I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks for playing Stump the Chumps.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, if you hear someone you'd like us to bring back for Stump the Chumps, email us your suggestion from cartalk.com.
Or call now and stump us. It's real easy. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys, my name's Reed. I'm calling you from Lexington Park, Maryland.
What's up?
All right, this is going to be pretty good after the last caller there. I have this cream puff 1989 Reliant K car. This thing's beautiful. And recently, my timing belt broke, and I had it changed by a professional.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But when they put it back in and set it to factory specs, I mean, it is a K-car, but it wouldn't run. So instead of putting a lot of money into it, the guy just kind of tuned it by ear or something, and the car runs pretty good. But now, every once in a while, when I get to a constant speed, say like 45 miles an hour, the K starts bronking like a buck in a wild rodeo.
Oh, really?
It's hiccuping, sputtering, things like that. And if I step on the gas or the brake, it starts running fine again. It's just every once in a while, it could be like if you're at idle and put it in drive and let the car start rolling and it's just at that constant speed, it'll do it every once in a while.
But did it do it right after the guy put in the timing belt?
About 2 weeks later, it started. And it doesn't do it all the time. It's every once in a while.
Well, here's...
Oh, boy.
Oh. Doesn't anyone screen these calls?
Oh, man.
Well, being an 89 Reliant, the list of potential causes for this condition is almost endless. And I would be slow to fault these guys. I will say that when a timing belt breaks on this car, it's very easy to put the marks wrong. This has three sprockets that the belt has to go around, the crank, the cam, and the distributor drive. And if what they did was they didn't line up the mark, because when the belt breaks, you have no idea
where anything is,
because everything has turned, not in relation to everything else like it's supposed to. What he did was he misaligned the distributor drive, which we do all the time. It's easy to do. And then what he did was he monkeyed with it by ear, which he shouldn't have done. He should actually have put the timing light on it. And he could get, even though that sprocket was on a couple of teeth off probably, he could set the timing correctly. Now, he may not have done that. So I think the first step is to get him... How many teeth did this guy have?
This may have been operator error, because I told him to do it as cheaply as humanly possible.
Ah, well...
Yeah.
But that doesn't absolve him from putting the timing belt on it. But nonetheless, he could have gotten it perfect. It's possible.
He could have gotten it perfect. But if the ignition timing is off by, you know, 10 or 15 or 20 degrees, it could make the thing run peculiarly, especially under load. So I think before you go ahead and start looking for anything else, either take it to him. Or, better than that, go out and buy yourself a timing light and check it yourself. But you could take it any place and ask them to check the timing.
Okay.
And whoever checks it is going to say, I can't believe this car runs. Your timing is off by 35 degrees. That's what I think is going to happen.
Okay.
See you, Reed.
Fantastic. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for your call.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Hey, look, Tommy, I can see that the stress of always being wrong is finally getting to you.
It's not the stress, man. It's the monotony that's getting to me.
Well, look, you're in luck. It's time for a short break, so I can guarantee you won't be wrong for the next 60 seconds.
Woof.
As long as you don't say anything.
Woof.
We'll be back. We'll be back in a minute. Drive all night, drive all day. Can drive some memories away. Don't talk things you regret. She broke some rules you'll never forget. We'll be right back. And even though Scott Simon makes a note to start working on his unicycle act again whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR. We'd like to take a moment to thank one of the sponsors of this podcast, Tire Rack. Now, I'm going to make a bold prediction and guess that at some point, you're going to need tires. That's why they call me Kreskin Malyotzi. Now, at TireRack.com, they want you to know that the right tires for you, based on your car and how you drive, can be delivered in as little as one business day to a local recommended installer. Which leads me to my second bold prediction, that you've learned more from this message than from the rest of our show. TireRack.com. Find, deliver, install. Ha, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and to deliver good news for those of you going through Puzzler withdrawal.
Oh, come on. What are you wasting our time on that for? We're talking about what? Three people in the audience who missed the Puzzler?
Yeah, but think about it on a percentage basis.
Yeah, you're right, 50%.
As you probably know by now, the Puzzler is on vacation for a few weeks. Well, like eight. But all summer long, we're posting classic puzzlers on our website, cartalk.com.
Yeah, it's the mango tree puzzler there. That one was pretty classic.
Can you say bite me on National Public Radio? No? Oh, never mind. Well, if you want to talk about your car, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Reverend Ron from Seattle.
Uh-oh.
Reverend Ron.
Watch your language.
Yeah, you guys better watch your language.
Oh, we always do.
We always do. E pluribus unum and all that stuff, Padre.
No. Wrong guy. We don't speak in Latin.
Oh, you don't speak in those tongues. Okay.
No what? Tongues either.
All right, then we'll...
So what do you call you? Reverend Ron, or Rev?
Whatever your pleasure is.
Okay. All right, Rev. I like Rev.
I like Rev, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Rev, what's up?
Well, I've got a 1980 Plymouth Champ.
Things are tough in the old church, eh?
Well, you know, the kind of salary that I get paid, that's about what I can afford.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it's a great car. It's one of those 8-speed jobs.
Oh, yes. So, yeah, I remember that. It had the dual differential thing there.
But I got a complete brake job about 3 weeks ago. Front and rear and calipers and the whole thing.
Oh, jeez.
And, yeah, and as I was leaving and driving home from the shop, I discovered that the horn, when I would turn the car to the steering wheel to the right, occasionally, intermittently, the horn would sound.
Okay.
And this has been happening now for about 3 weeks, but it's not constant. It's not like every time I turn the wheel to the right.
Yeah,
it's every now and then, it's usually at embarrassing times.
And you want you want us to figure out how you can go back and blame these guys that took $500 for this brake job from you?
Well, that'd be good.
That would be good if you could somehow attribute it to their craziness or incompetence.
Well, yeah, 'cause I called them afterward.
And they said, Rev, you're nuts. Didn't they?
That's what they said. Yeah. They laughed.
Yeah, that's
they
good.
Laughed.
Yeah.
Do they know that you have connections in high places?
I don't think so. We haven't gotten that far yet.
Ah. So. I would divulge that if I were you.
No, that's going to be your ace in the hole.
I'd save that for the ring job.
Yeah, when they screw up something really important.
It's extremely unlikely that anything they did would have caused this problem.
I was afraid of that.
Yeah. Because it's probably happening because it's a switch which is in the steering wheel where the horn is.
And something is stuck in there.
Yeah.
But someone's going to take the steering wheel apart. They'll figure it out in a second.
Yeah, the bad news is that it's very unlikely that they caused it, but the good news is it's very simple to fix.
Unless everything is mangled. What you'll find when you take it off is one of your old brakes is probably stuck in there.
What do I have to take off?
The steering wheel.
I mean, you can take the steering wheel off yourself, actually. Do you have any wrenches?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you feel like fooling around a little bit here?
No.
Hey, watch that stuff.
You can do this.
I can do it.
Yeah, you need a socket.
Are you sure I can do it?
You need a socket and a ratchet, and you're going to take off. There's a big nut right in the middle of the wheel.
Uh-huh.
Not to be confused with the one behind the wheel. This is actually all in the steering wheel. And there's maybe a little plastic cover in the middle. You pop that off with a screwdriver and Or there may be some screws you have to take off. We used to go at it with like a baseball bat, and that loosens everything up.
Yeah, or a torch.
And then you take off this big nut, but you don't remove it all the way. And if you're lucky and you're strong enough, you can plant both feet firmly on the floor, put the seat in the way back position, grip the wheel firmly at the 3 and 9 o'clock positions. And the reason you leave the nut on partially is that when the steering wheel comes loose, you don't want it to come off and hit you in the kisser.
Uh-huh.
It'll be because difficult to explain to your parishioners.
It's press fit onto a spindle there. And so what you have to do is yank it free from the press fit.
Uh-huh.
And then it will just pop right off when you take the nut off. It'll just come right out, and you'll see all this mess right there.
Okay.
Yeah, all a bunch of pieces will fall on the floor, and then just put the wheel back and drive it yeah. to the shop.
And buy one of those horns that you can hook onto the window and just woo, awoo, awoo.
Good luck, Rev. It's been a pleasure.
Put in a good word for us. God knows we need it.
I will do that, yes.
He probably does know we need it.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Thank
bye-bye.
You. Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Ann. I'm from Philadelphia.
Hi, Ann.
Ann with an E at the end or not?
No. Yes, with an E. Thank you
no
very much.
No kidding.
Yeah.
There aren't right. many of them, you know?
No, and no one ever asks, so I appreciate that.
Well, thank you.
What's shaking?
We have a decision to make.
Uh-huh.
Who's we?
We. My family has a decision to make, and so you're going to make the decision.
Oh. Great.
Right.
Yeah.
We have a son who's about to start driving. He'll be 16 this year.
God.
And we have had offers from two different families within our family of two different cars. They are both 1989s. They both have mileage around 86,000. One is a Mazda 626, and the other is a Range Rover. So we have a new driver who we hadn't planned on buying a car. We have a choice of two cars. One we think would be inexpensive to keep on the road, but the other is a nice, sturdy tank, which is probably a good thing for a new driver, but probably is very expensive to keep on the road, and that's why I called you guys.
Boy, this is good. I mean, you couldn't. If I had to come up with two more dissimilar vehicles, I don't know how I would do it.
Well, I'm going to let my brother answer most of this because he is on the horns of the same dilemma.
I am on the horns, except no one in my family has offered to give my son.
I and Doug Berman both have offered cars to Alex. Doug has graciously offered.
You've offered to sell cars to Alex.
No, no. Berman has graciously offered his 79. What is that?
76.
76. 76.
Almost this decade.
76 BMW.
Yeah.
318. No. Oh, two. Oh, did it make a 318? Who am I getting? Slap me, will you? 2002 or 1001, whatever it is. It only runs on three cylinders. And I, of course, have offered my Dodge Colt Vista.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's true. I guess that is true.
Right.
Yeah, that you have the same choice we have.
Yeah. I mean, boy, this is difficult, isn't it?
Yeah.
First of all, why does the kid need a car? Why does a 16-year-old kid need a car at all? That's my first question to my son.
Right.
I say to him, Alex, I didn't have a car when I was 16.
Right.
Why do you need a car when you're 16? And where the heck is it going to come from?
Right.
And who's going to fix it? Who's going to insure it? Who's going to pay for the gas and oil?
Yeah.
Right.
He can't afford a car. I keep telling him, you can't afford a car because you have zero income. So how can you possibly afford a car?
See, when we were kids, if you wanted a car, you could buy a $50 junk box. And you spend every weekend fixing the thing in your driveway.
Right.
Spilling oil and transmission fluid in your parents' driveway.
Well, that's all right, though.
And
because that's a learning experience.
Right.
It's a character builder. It's all of those things.
Knuckle scraper.
I mean, just think about it. Owning your Colt Vista would certainly be a character building.
It would be. You make a man out of him.
Make a man out of him. So, I mean, how did we determine, Ann, that your kid needs a car?
Well, it would be handy. We know that. And he has been a very good boy, and he earned all of the money this summer he needs to pay his car insurance next year. He's met his part of the bargain.
He has.
And what you describe is exactly what we had hoped, was that if he was given a car under these circumstances, that he would be able to tinker with it and work on it. I don't think he can do that with the Range Rover because they're expensive and they have to have Range Rover parts and all that stuff. But it's such a nice, big, heavy car, and our insurance guy tells us that beginning drivers have a terrible rate of accidents.
Yeah.
And,
well, the Range Rover would be my choice.
I mean, there are the pros and cons of both, obviously, and you've put your finger right on it. The 626 is a cute little car. It's manageable.
Reliable.
Relatively reliable, and it probably will handle better than the Range Rover.
That is true. I've driven them both, and that is true.
On the other hand, the Range Rover gives you a commanding view of the road.
Right.
It's safer if you're struck by something or strike something.
It's less safe, however, if you speed, because it has a very high center of gravity. Since you seem to think that your son is a mature, such as it is for a 16-year-old, honest, hard-working kid, I, too, would vote for the Range Rover. And if he ever had an accident, I'd give him a dope slap that he would remember till he was 100.
But are these horribly expensive cars to keep on
the
road?
Yeah, but that's good, too, because it'll humble him. it will allow him to learn what it is to own a car and how difficult it is to keep a car in the road and why he should never, ever buy a British car again.
My son keeps telling me what a wonderful person he is and how intelligent he is and how his brain is working all the time and how he's mature and sensitive and all. He tells me all these things.
Right.
I don't believe a word of it.
His brain is working all the time. Bro, I have never seen a kid more dedicated to getting a car than your son, Alex. Can we get him on the phone? We need to talk to Alex today because Alex is facing this very problem every day. He and his father have the following discussion. Why? Why not? Why not? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it goes back and
forth. Well, I tell you, I mean, you mentioned, Ann, that it would be convenient. And that's the biggest problem for us.
Right.
Because every place he has to go, he has to be driven. I mean, he always, oh, no, there's no bus that goes that way. There are no buses that ever go where he's going.
All right. Well, thanks for the vote.
Wait a minute. We may have my son on the phone here. Hello? Is this Alexander?
Yes.
Alex, were you watching Columbo?
No.
He was probably emptying the trash.
Of course I was. He's mowing the lawn.
Mowing the lawn and doing the trash. We have on the line Anne from Philadelphia. She has a 16-year-old son.
Mm-hmm.
And
he ain't getting a car either.
But here's the deal. She has offers for two cars. One is an 89 Mazda 626.
Yes.
The other one is an 89 Range Rover.
Mm-hmm.
If it were you.
Yes.
What would be your preference and why?
A Mazda 626 or a Range Rover?
Yeah. Both 89s and both with 86,000 miles on them.
Let's see. I would have to go with the Range Rover, probably.
Why?
Because it's cool, right?
It's cool. Definitely cool.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, no, let's put in one other condition.
Okay.
That you have to repair the thing or pay for the repairs yourself.
Mazda.
And tell me again, I asked Ann, and she didn't really have an answer. Tell me again, why does a 16-year-old kid need a car? Explain that to me. It keeps eluding me.
Well, you know why.
If we don't have a car, we'll have to borrow our father's Dodge Darts. And we don't want to do that.
Oh, no. But allow me to intervene here on your behalf. You know, kids Alex's age, you're a junior in high school this year.
Yep.
Right? Is that true, Alex?
That's true.
Just say yes to everything. And you'll have some heavy-duty assignments. Don't forget, this is an important year.
That's right.
If you don't do well in school this year, you're going to be a ditch digger as opposed to a college student.
Or an automobile mechanic.
So you must study. It requires frequent trips to many libraries, not just your local library.
That's true.
I mean, that wouldn't be good enough. You may have to go to far-flung libraries to do the research required to get the good grades to get you into one of these good schools.
These are the libraries where all the girls are going.
Well, maybe.
Will there be girls at the library?
Maybe not. They may not be girls at these libraries. Right. As if there were, your father would drive you. Or your uncle would drive you. But bear in mind that I think Alex needs to be able to get to these libraries to do the critical research necessary to improve his grades so he can actually get into a college.
That's right. And support my parents in their old age.
Very good, Alex. All the answers that America wants to hear.
All right, get off the phone.
See you, Al.
Okay, bye.
You better have that trash out when your father gets over. You'll be in trouble.
Okay, Ann, there you have it.
Okay.
Good luck.
Thanks
so, I was hesitant because I didn't think a teenager would want a Range Rover, but my son informs me that it's cool.
Oh, right. Range Rovers are coolness.
Yeah, so that's good.
All right.
I want a Range Rover, but I can't afford one.
Yeah.
So if you don't take it, I'll take the 626. I'll take the Range Rover. See you, Ann.
Ann, I wish you the very best in these hard times.
Well, I appreciate that. It's nice to know you're going through it, too.
Brother.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Well, I don't remember going through this.
No, because no one gave you a car when you were 16 years old.
I do remember.
I didn't have a bicycle till I was 15 years old.
I do remember my father tried to give me his 60 Rambler.
And you turned it
and
down?
And I ran upstairs and got a crucifix out of the off one of the walls and held it up in front of the car. Boy, if there was a car that was less desirable, it was a 60 Rambler Classic.
Talk about a babe magnet.
Oof. Yeah, but so that's how he, I guess, that's why I didn't have a car. He was generous.
He was. That's good. He didn't offer me anything.
Yeah, I guess that is the modern day equivalent of the 87 Colt Vista.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I think a Heap is good for a kid.
Well, everyone's afraid to have his child drive a Heap these days.
Yeah.
Yeah, our parents, why weren't they afraid?
They were trying to get rid of us.
Oh, I guess so. Oh, boy. Well, look, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from his triumphant slam dunk at the Cape Ann Donut Toss, is John Bugsy Lawler.
A slam dunk?
Yes, dunk. Get it?
Dunk
donuts.
Get it, man. Dunk.
Cool, huh? Yeah. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge and Overa. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our director of new product repair is Warren T. Myfoot. Our pseudonym consultant is Norm DePlume. The Car Talk musical director is Donna E. Mobile. Our divorce attorney is Carmine Not Yours. Our staff mediator is Sue First. Our Russian chauffeur is Pikov and Dropov. The banker at Car Talk Plaza Poker Games is Nikolai Putin. And our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the obnoxious mimes in Harvard Square as... Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1531, download other time-wasting episodes, and check out our clothing and best-of collections all over at cartalk.com. Also at cartalk.com, the Mechanics Files are a humongous database of mechanics all over the country who have been recommended by other Car Talk listeners.
Have you entered any mechanics who you happen to know, I mean, whose work you can vouch for? You know, someone maybe that you grew up with, someone who taught you the ropes. Someone who's always been like a superb older brother to you?
Sorry, I don't know how to spell your last name.
Get out! Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though canaries volunteer for coal mine duty whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.